The Sportscast, March 29th, 2021, the beginning of Holy Week for the world. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and Apple Podcasts. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And the switch from Periscope to Twitter hasn't happened yet. Periscope is still on. We'll see what happens in a few days in April. We're also on online digital radio. You'll also visit our website, thesportscast.net, our Twitter, at thesportscast1. We're also on the iOS App Store, The Sportscast. We've been getting a lot of downloads lately. And, of course, you can go to our website for the latest and greatest in sports. March Madness Sweet 16 is come to a close. It's a wrap. A few no-brainers happened, a few surprises. I guess the only one was Alabama, I guess, arguably speaking. UCLA has history in college basketball, but they weren't like the heavy favorites. And, of course, Alabama was the favorites, I guess, for probably six out of ten people probably went for Alabama. Joe Toscano was going for Alabama, and he's joined us all the way from Pittsburgh. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Always great to be back. I went for a lot of teams that ended up losing. So just like about everybody else, but still.
So you did go for Alabama, or like you were going for Alabama?
You know what? I rooted against Alabama because they win everything in college football. You can't win all the sports. Let some other school have some wins too. Alabama, come on, you're hogging them all.
That's true. I mean, even though it wasn't possible this year, like they could have made it to the Final Four, I think was the max. But if they did, that would have been pretty sick.
That would have been amazing. You know, to be so good in football and basketball, that's really impressive.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, I'm watching March Madness because there's not much going on. Like, okay. NFL free agency, but that's just a tweet or two. We're talking about weekend, you know, afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, you know, if you have cable or regular television, I'm going to watch some games.
You know, the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, when there's so many games going on at once, that is one of the most fun days of all the entire year for sports. It's so much fun just to see all that action going on at once. It is so cool. So yeah, it's, you know, I barely watch any college basketball during the regular season, but I really get into the tournament.
Yeah, I for sure I'm beginning more into this tournament, especially since starting the Sportscast. And I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a good place to watch some players excelling, seeing other teams that can't win in college football, but that could win it in college basketball. So it's definitely a good place to just to watch, enjoy, and see some potential NBA players that will probably enter the draft this upcoming season, even though I haven't heard too many like stellar stars like Zion type of stars. But of course, you know, you never know. Sometimes these things, you just don't know till it happens, until they get selected. So let's go on and recap the Sweet 16. It gets a little bit deep in the bracket. Let's go on for the first game, Oregon State defeating Loyola 65-58. This was an interesting one because Loyola had some momentum coming into this one. Oregon State was a legitimate team, very legitimate team, but they defeated Loyola, number 12, beat a number 8. This was also a semi-upset, right, Joe?
Yeah, it was an upset. I mean, it was amazing that Loyola made it that far and, you know, Oregon State taking out Oklahoma State. That was amazing. But, how do you take out an old lady, Sister Jean? Come on.
Yes.
I don't know if you believe in a higher power, but I don't know where you're going to end up if you take out old ladies. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's something that I am pretty much learning more about her too. I know that that Irwin was talking about it this past Friday at the show. But yeah, Oregon State, another Pac-12 team, which the Pac-12 it has been doing well. Oregon didn't win last night, but well, USC did. But Pac-12 is doing so far so good, and we'll see what happens in the other Pac-12 teams as well. Villanova and Baylor, another good game. Baylor beat Villanova 62-51. Baylor was the favorite, by the way. So, like, Villanova didn't have – wasn't close enough. But what were your thoughts over this matchup?
Baylor, to me, is the only chance of beating Gonzaga. That's been my team from when the tournament brackets first came out. I think Baylor is going to go all the way. So, you know, sorry Villanova, but you just ran into either the second best or the best team in the whole tournament.
Yeah, and of course, like Ryan Crista last week or 2 weeks ago was saying, the Baylor is a great upshot against Gonzaga on the other side of the bracket. It is kind of wide open because Illinois was probably the favorite before the tournament started. So, but hey, you know, we'll see what happens with this Texas team, and we'll keep them following. The game that was closer than I thought, and the Cinderella team of the tournament, I would say, in my opinion, Oral Roberts losing against Arkansas by just 2 points, Joe. But this story ended into Arkansas's hands.
Boy, they came close. How amazing would it have been, you know, for a 15 seed to go that far? It was close, but no cigar.
It was inches away. Oral Roberts player Devontae Davis jumper with 3.1 seconds left. It gave missed the shot, and it helped Arkansas go into the Elite Eight. This Oral Roberts team that beat Ohio State, that beat
Florida
as well, stopped against Arkansas. So it was a good story. Only by 2 points, not bad. Obviously, you know, Oral Roberts has had some history in college basketball, but getting this deep, playing against good teams like that. But hey, good job for Arkansas, and we'll see how they do against the Texas team,
Houston
Aylor University. Yeah. Now, Syracuse versus Houston, another big game. Of course, Houston defeated Syracuse 62-45. Not even close, Joe. Not even close.
When you mention Syracuse, it's all about that 2-3 zone and who can stop it and who can solve it. I mean, it's funny. It's been this Jimmy Boeheim offense has been going on for decades, and it's always a weird thing that teams have to go up against. So. Obviously, Houston was able to solve it. So it's kind of like Syracuse is kind of like the Rubik's Cube of basketball. If you can solve it, then you're fine.
Another Texas team. Maybe they'll face Aylor University in the later in the tournament. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, good job for Houston. Next game, which was Halloween Day, Gonzaga. Defeating Creighton, it was not even close. Mr. Joe Toscano, is this team unbeatable?
I say no. I before the tournament started, I said, mark my words, Gonzaga will not win the title. Now I don't know. with so many good teams being taken out, Gonzaga does look unstoppable. I mean, you know, they kept it to. They only won by 18 against Creighton, so good for Creighton. But I say I'm not sure when, but Gonzaga will not win the title. Maybe they'll take all the way to the title game. Maybe Baylor will take them out, but it's not happening. Of course, I'm never right, so they probably will win. But I believe in my heart of hearts, Gonzaga is not winning. They've had it too easy. You can't when you have no adversity And when you just roll over everybody, eventually you're going to face adversity and you're not going to know what to do.
Something that everyone's considering. Of course, Gonzaga will play another another tougher team next, but Gonzaga does look unstoppable, and they are the favorite so far, still to win it. Anyways, we'll see if anyone can slow them down just a bit, but I have not seen that yet. Another big matchup, which we were live tweeting yesterday, Michigan defeating FSU. 76-58. Hey, another team we need to take a look at, to Joe, but I think like this Michigan team is looking pretty good so far.
Hey, they're number one. They're another number one seed that has survived. They're looking really good. Got to credit Juwan Howard. You know, they're hitting it on cylinders, and then you know they're going to face an underdog in UCLA. So I mean, you'd have to think they're favored there.
It was a pretty pretty self-dominated game by Michigan itself, and you know FSU fell gloriously, you know, humbly, and it's also another back-to-back straight loss FSU this season in the Sweet 16. So they usually stop there. Second time in three tournament Seminoles season has ended at the hands of the Wolverines as well. So another another similar foe that tends to happen sometimes in March Madness. Another big game, went close, went to overtime, but UCLA defeated Alabama 88-78. It was close, but UCLA looked better at the end.
Yeah, but Alabama had that miracle. They almost pulled it off, but then in overtime, UCLA sealed the deal.
And of course, Alabama is one of the favorites here at the sportscast, but of course, they just couldn't do it. And like we were picking before, you can't win every sport and like every tournament, but I guess you're pretty happy about that in some ways.
It's more jealousy. I don't really have anything against Alabama. I mean, it's what they do in college football is absolutely amazing. It is a wonderful dynasty. Hats off to them. But it also, it's good to have a villain. It's good to have a super team to root against. And I definitely root against them.
Oh, yeah. It's something that a lot of people are kind of root against them, of course, because they've been winning a lot in college football. But yeah, the Oates, Coach Oates' stop was there. I was surprised personally because I thought they were going to go a little bit deeper. I thought UCLA was beatable, but Alabama was number two. UCLA number 11. Huge win for them. Glad they're doing well.
Yeah, what the Pac-12 is doing is amazing. You know, to have this many teams go so far, I mean, what happened? ACC, I thought you were supposed to be a basketball conference. What the heck happened? You know, it's like right now, if you look at all the Elite Eight schools, the entire Eastern seaboard is wiped out. So hats off to the Pac-12.
Another great performance from a great conference. Lastly, late last night, I thought it would be closer, but it was not. Another Pac-12. A Pac-12 matchup between Oregon and USC. Oregon defeated. They did win. Oregon.
USC won.
Oh, no, USC won. My bad. I got the scores mixed up. USC beat Oregon 82-68. Not close, Joe. Not close at all.
No, I mean, you know, they're two teams that know each other well. It just speaks to that entire conference. Hats off to them for doing so well. I mean, this was such a weird year because I'm guessing a lot of conferences, they just played each other. They didn't play other teams too much. So, you know, it was hard to know who was going to be really good this year because of the circumstances. But, yeah. Hats off to that conference.
So let's read out the Elite Eight, and we will predict it all together. Let's go with the first match, which begins today. Oregon State versus Houston. Oregon State is number 12. Houston's number 2. Joe, what do you think is going to happen?
I'm going Houston. I think this is where the underdogs go to die in the Elite Eight. You know, it's all wonderful stories in the first couple rounds, but then when you get to the nitty gritty, it's like, okay, we're done with the upsets. Of course, you know, that'll probably be really dumb. Like all the upsets will probably happen. But yeah, I'm still going Houston.
Houston, another great performance in this tournament. We'll go into the final four. They do not have to face too much opposition, not too heavy hitters. But I guess this is our opportunity to shine and see what they do. Baylor University versus Arkansas. What could happen there? A upset or a given?
Like I said, I think I believe in Baylor. I think they are going to win the whole thing, so I'm going Baylor.
You're consistent with Baylor, aren't you?
Hey, I got a ride, Dad. That's all I got. I think they're the only chance I have of winning any of my tournaments, of any of my polls.
Are they the last hope to beat Gonzaga?
Yes. Yeah, I don't see USC doing it, and I don't see either Michigan or UCLA doing it. So maybe Michigan can beat Gonzaga, but I think Baylor is the best chance.
My boy Daryl will probably is hoping for Michigan as well. He's a huge Michigan fan. Anyways, tomorrow, March 30th, there's one more day in March. It's the 31st, not the 30th. USC versus Gonzaga, a USC team that is, you know, feeling pretty good. Had a good win against Oregon, against Gonzaga, which they've been walking this tournament so far. Will this be close, Joe, or would this be a 10-point win or a 20-point win by Gonzaga?
I think they're going to keep it close and get it in only under 20. USC will only lose by less than 20, which would be considered a moral victory in a quote unquote close game.
So Gonzaga still wins. Let's see what happens. Lastly, this game might be the closest, maybe for the eight, UCLA versus Michigan, number one Michigan. UCLA is number 11. Joe, is this a Michigan win or is this a UCLA upset?
I like Michigan. I think they've survived their toughest parts, and I think they're going to advance.
I'm going to say Michigan too. My boy Daryl, who works in the sports cast, I think he's been going. He is a Michigan fan. I'm going to go with him, and hopefully a Michigan Gonzaga matchup will be a close game, I think, if that happens.
Should be interesting, or if it happens.
Anyways, that is our Elite Eight predictions. We also recapped the Sweet 16. Pretty excited about this March Madness. So far, Baylor versus Gonzaga is Joe's go-to championship game. I think that might be it. I might go for maybe Houston, perhaps. But the games have to be played. So, and we'll find out more towards the weekend. The championship game is this weekend as well, Sunday. And the Final Four is this weekend as well on Saturday. So a lot going on in college basketball. We'll be done by Monday, Joe.
It's kind of weird this year with the schedule. Usually it's, you know, Thursday, Friday, but this time it's Friday, Saturday, and then Monday, Tuesday. So I'm happy we're having a tournament at all, so I'm not going to complain, but it is kind of weird that the schedule is, you know, basically off a day.
And also going on in the world of sports, NFL free agency is making a lot of noise. They definitely eclipsed the NBA trade date. And also sometimes, like over March Madness, the Miami Dolphins were pulling some moves last week. They had the third pick. They traded with San Francisco, and then they traded with the Eagles. Now the Niners are at the third spot. Dolphins are at 6th. Eagles are at 12th. Joe, how do you see this NFL draft forming up?
Very interesting move by the 49ers to trade up. It looks like the plan is to get a quarterback, whoever that's going to be. I've seen possibly Mac Jones, which would just, to me, is hilarious. I don't have a high opinion of him. But, you know, so they're going to get a quarterback, but they're also going to keep Jimmy G for this year to be like, you know, because they're not, they would probably, whatever quarterback they got, they're going to ease him in. So, real interesting by the 49ers. I kind of see where they're coming from. I mean, you're talking about a team that made the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And the only reason they did so bad last year was because they had so many injuries. So they probably figured, we're not going to be this bad for a while. We have a chance to get our franchise quarterback, and it's obviously not Jimmy G. So let's trade up, make sure we get our franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, and then deal with it from there. So, hey, good for them for taking the chance.
Obviously, you know, Jimmy G used to play for the Patriots. He is not getting interest from the Patriots. I heard New England was saying that they're not interested in him. What do you think New England's going to do?
I thought they were interested in him, but 49ers told him no. You know, who knows what the Patriots are doing? This is they might be shut out of this whole thing because, I mean, the thought was that the Patriots were going to try to draft one of the quarterbacks in the first round. They might be shut out now. So it might be another year for the Patriots of just hanging with Cam Newton and seeing what happens next year. So assuming next year the 49ers have this plan of grooming their quarterback for a year, they're probably going to release or trade Jimmy G next year, and then maybe that's when the Patriots will get him.
You really thought about that, didn't you?
I think about football a lot.
Another person that made a lot of noise, Zach Wilson, last week, had a great pro day. Looks like the New York Jets might get him, Joe. What do you think about that?
Sure seems like it. It seems like it's going to be Trevor Lawrence 1, then Zach Wilson 2, and then who knows at 3 what quarterback, you know, Mac Jones or Lance or whoever. But, the one throw Zach Wilson made was just absolutely amazing, throwing it down the field and, you know, basically on you know, against his body. It was crazy.
I thought the winner of last week so far with the trades were the Dolphins. They got 2 first-round picks this year, next year, and the following year, so 3 years in a row. I believe what I've been hearing the noise from Miami, they might select Kyle Pitts. He's a tight end. Do you think they should go that direction or get a wide receiver?
They could get a wide receiver. They could get they could get Jalen Waddle. They could get Pitts. They could get Slater, Penny Sewell, if he's available.
Devontae Smith, or they could wait him out a bit.
Maybe. There's a lot of ways they could go there. I mean, they think they have their guy with Tua. We'll see. they're already set a quarterback. We'll see about that. But so there's a lot of ways they could go to improve. And yeah, they really helped themselves out with all these trades. They basically turned Laramie Tunsil into like four first round draft picks.
Yes, he was a major player for last week's trades, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
It's really funny how that worked out, and really not funny how it worked out for Houston.
Now the Pittsburgh Steelers are at number 24. What do you think is going to happen there? Like, what have you been hearing? What noise do you think they'll go? Like what direction they will go?
I think at 24, they're going to go running back. And if Najee Harris is available, they might take him. He's not totally their kind of guy, I think. If they want to go running back, I think Javonte Harris out of North Carolina is more their type of player. But if they ended up, you know, if Najee Harris is available, I think they would take him. That would be a great fit for them.
What's the deal with James Conner? I mean, I heard he's a free agent, but you don't think he'll be coming back?
Connor's nice. He's league average. He is average. One of his problems is he's hurt a lot. But yeah, he's a good, like, not number one running back, but like a second guy. You know, someone to run it like 30-40% of the time. He would be perfect for that. He's just not a number one guy in the NFL.
I do agree with that. James Conner doesn't seem like he was the man there. But hey, if they get Najee Harris in this year's draft, he's more of a number one guy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You get Najee Harris, he's a three down guy, you're playing him all the time, and that's exactly what the Steelers want.
And if you go to thesportscast.net, you can see mock drafts from Ty Turner and Byron Jones. Byron Jones has four versions already. Tyler came out with his first version this past weekend. He thinks that New England could trade up to get Mac Jones.
I believe it. I believe at this point, it's been set that it's going to be, you know, obviously the first pick is the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence. Second pick, probably the Jets, probably going to get take Zach Wilson. Third, 49ers, they're going to get a quarterback. But number four at the Falcons, who knows what they're going to do? Are they going to trade out of that? I mean, they're in a great position now. Hey, maybe they'll get a quarterback too. Who knows? I mean, it's it's going to be really interesting that we're exactly about a month from the NFL draft. So it's only going to get crazier from here on out.
Exactly. And keep in mind, audience, that trades could happen on the draft day as well. So a lot of last minute stuff. You can have mock drafts perfected by that day, but that last second, hey, you know, this and that. And keep in mind, a lot of these teams, they hear rumors. I know this team will select this player. I know, well, for sure we know the Jaguars are going to select Trevor Lawrence. So that's already a whole given. But then it gets a little bit trickier after four. It just really depends on the team. What Joe was saying. Falcons, we have no idea. They got a quarterback named Matt Ryan. I believe he's about 30, 31 by now. But they could go and get a backup for him or something, or probably groom him for the future. So a lot of different variables, a lot of different philosophies. But we do know one thing. Roethlisberger is coming back to Pittsburgh. So, and they got two quarterbacks they're trying to groom, Haskins and Rudolph. So it's one of the two.
Thanks for ruining my day. I know. That's a very depressing situation.
Anyways, let's go into our poll question just to line up the day. Who's your favorite team from Nevada, the state of Nevada? The Raiders, the Golden Knights, the Nevada Wolfpack, they're a college, and the Henderson Silver Knights. Who's your pick?
I love the Golden Knights, although they took one of my favorite players ever, Marc-Andre Fleury, in the expansion draft. But I love that they had an expansion draft, and basically I'm guessing the coach just said to them, hey, you're all rejects, your team didn't want you, let's win something here. And they almost won the Stanley Cup their first year.
And there you have it, Golden Knights. So far the Golden Knights are winning actually in the Sportscast poll, so they're going with you, Joe.
They're a good team.
Joe, what is the best way to reach you online to follow your March Madness tweets?
Joey Bag of Donuts on Twitter, V instead of an F. I apologize in advance. I tweet way too much. It's a condition I have. It's called Twitteritis. You know, there's no treatments other than, you know, a bad connection.
Are you sure Twitter doesn't pay you?
Man, if I got paid for tweets, I would be swimming in a room full of money right now. I'd be like DuckTales, just swimming in a room full of dollar bills.
That would be an awesome job. Just tweeting and getting paid for it because you bring some valuable content. I would take that job. But obviously, they got to be creative and everything, but it gets very logistical. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or at thesportscast1 on Twitter. We are breaking news. There will probably be some NFL news this week. And of course, visit our website. We'll have some more mock drafts this week. But like what Joe says, we have a month away from the NFL draft, and Trevor Lawrence will not be going to Cleveland. Joe, what does that mean?
Well, the Browns have their franchise
Oh no, I mean,
quarterback.
I'm sorry. He will not be going to the NFL draft, like the
Oh,
a whole
he's
event. Yeah, he's not going to Browns, but he will not
Oh,
be going
he's
to.
not. Oh, I thought now. Yeah, the Browns will not draft him. No, he won't. Cleveland is a really nice town to visit. I have nothing but nice things to say. I mean, I hate their football team, but Cleveland is a wonderful city. There's a lot to do there. They have a wonderful downtown. So the NFL draft is going to be awesome. I don't blame Trevor Lawrence. I don't, not everybody has that, is into those crowds and into things like that. I mean, I went to a mall and it was really crowded lately and I got kind of freaked out. You're used to not having being around people for a year and then all of a sudden there's crowds. It's a little overwhelming.
Yes, he'll be watching. Lawrence will be watching the draft from his couch in Clemson. I'm sure there'll be cameras there. But typically, if you're going to be the first pick, and he very well will be, you typically go there. You go meet Roger Goodell, shake his hand. You show like the jersey, and you wear the Jacksonville Jaguar hat. But that's not going to happen this year. I don't know if he's COVID. Maybe he's not into the whole crowds anymore. Or he just, or maybe Urban Meyer told him, "Hey, man, you can stay home. Don't worry about meeting me."
That is weird. I don't know if we've ever seen a number one overall pick, besides last year, not show up and, like you said, do the handshaking and wear the hat and do all that stuff. So that's going to be a little bit odd.
I agree. And I mean, hey, I would go there just to shake Roger Goodell's hand, but.
I would squeeze it pretty tight. I'm not a real big fan of that.
Or you see some linemen just give him a big bear hug and like they carry him, and those are pretty funny. But anyways, this show went longer than I thought. Anyways, thank you, Roger Goodell. Anyways, Joe Toscano, always a pleasure.
Same here. Always, always, great talking to you.
Bye bye, guys.